buy houses, and make other investments. The fund is hoping to raise $500 million by October in order to make the program self-sustaining and continue to increase the number of young professionals they can help get started on the right track financially. I'm Nofi Mitchell on the Black Information Network.
I'm Sally, a volunteer at United Way. I'm asking people around the neighborhood what they think this place needs.
And he fought for peace and justice all his life.
But the life of her husband, retired Chicago firefighter Dwayne Williams, was taken in a brazen broad daylight carjacking. And the suspect seen on surveillance video jumping out of their car, trying to take his SUV. Now the family mourns at his wake, and his four children ache at the senseless loss of their father.
We are four fatherless girls. I never knew what it was.
Police are on the lookout for the young man who did it, and the family pleads with those who know something to say something.
Please, turn yourself in. Do not harbor. You're not helping by harboring.
The 65-year-old retired Chicago firefighter was buying gourmet popcorn and returning to his car when he was confronted. Now, the store Let's Get Poppin' and members of the Black Fire Brigade are asking people to shop at the store on Southwestern Avenue in Chicago. The money will go to his family.
We cannot bring him back, but we can keep coming back to support the family.
And with such a tremendous tragedy, the community is gathering around his family. They lost so much.
They took my brother's life. But they couldn't take his spirit.
There is a growing reward to capture his killers. So far, it has exceeded $30,000 and growing.
Columbus, Ohio is bracing this weekend, boarding up, just in case crowds gather to chant a new name, Casey Goodson.
Casey was a hardworking American. Casey was somebody who was just amazing. Casey was full of life and full of love.
The 23-year-old killed by a Franklin County deputy who followed Goodson home, claiming he saw a gun. But Ohio is a concealed carry state, and Goodson had a license. The family lawyer says it's the opposite reaction when Black people have guns.
But as Black people, we have to worry about whether carrying a weapon and exercising that right will lead to our death.
Deputy Jason Mead shot him as he entered his home carrying Subway sandwiches. His family says he was dying on the kitchen floor in front of his grandmother and five-year-old brother. There is no body cam footage.
The shooting of Casey Goodson is why many have demanded to defund the police. But for Democrats, the phrase turned out to be a double-edged sword. Even President-elect Joe Biden admitted it was bad for the elections. During what was supposed to be a closed meeting with national civil rights leaders, audio was leaked revealing what Biden really thought.
Because that's how they beat the living hell out of us across the country, saying that we're talking about defunding the police. We're not. We're talking about holding them accountable.
President Trump, who made his national presence promoting the birther law against President Obama, seems to have a kindred spirit with his latest lawyer, who Trump hopes will help him overturn the election before the Supreme Court. His name is John Eastman. Fox viewers know him best as the attorney questioning the citizenship of another African-American in higher office, Kamala Harris. I'm Vanessa Tyler with Doug Davis on the Black Information Network.
Have you been involved in a car or truck accident? Have you been hurt in a slip and fall? Have you been injured due to acts of omissions of a medical doctor? Have you been told that you couldn't get paid because there was little to no damage to your vehicle? Have you been told that you do not have a claim because you are undocumented? You need a lawyer that will fight hard for you. You need attorney Janika L. Campbell. Call the law offices of Janika L. Campbell today for your free consultation. 312-273-6677. Just as a diamond represents itself using the four C's, we dedicate ourselves to a 4C business model. Client-centered, competent legal representation, clear and concise communication, and a collaborative and creative approach. You focus on your recovery. We focus on collecting the check. Give the law offices of Janika L. Campbell a call today. 312-273-6677. JanikaLaw.com. JanikaLaw.com.
The views expressed on our programs are not necessarily those of WVON, Midway Broadcasting Corporation, or our participating sponsors.
Broadcasting live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON, it's T.O. Hardiman, Mr. Ceasefire, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Chicagoland. T.O. Mr. Ceasefire Hardiman tuning in here this morning on WVON 1690 AM, the Talk of Chicago. It's an honor to be here once again on Sunday morning. I want to thank all the listeners and everybody on my social media network for tuning in to this particular show every Sunday morning. You can download the 1690 AM iHeart app to listen to the show worldwide. That's very important. I want to send a shout out to my sponsors, YCCS, that's Youth Connections Charter School, for sponsoring the show every Sunday morning. And I have some more sponsors that I'm lining up for the new year. So it's a good year for T.O. Mr. Ceasefire Hardiman. And we need some ceasefire in Chicago right now. Over 730 people have been killed. 3,700 people have been shot this year alone, and that's like a 50% increase in homicides. And we also have 12,000 carjackings. We'll talk about that probably next week, but that's really outrageous. 12,000 carjackings in the city of Chicago, that comes down to about 1,000 carjackings a month. And I'm trying to wonder, where are the police in all this, in this equation, right? So I have with me today a special guest, a good friend of mine. I'm so grateful that she joined us this morning, Saraya. Let me get that name right. Saraya.
Yes, absolutely.
Saraya, right.
Absolutely.
So Saraya, she's an R&B singer. You know, she's been on The Voice. She's been around. She's taken care of her business. And the topic today really is, where is R&B music in the midst of rap music? Where are the R&B singers? You know, I grew up on R&B and all those good things. I'm not a professional singer, but I wanted to send a little shout out to Saraya right now.
Yes.
The male version of Chaka Khan's Sweet Thing, all right? I'm going to go for it, everybody. Then we're going to get to this conversation, all right?
Yes.
Let me drink a little water and get myself started. I had to rehearse to get it right. Here we go. I will love you anyway, hey, even if you cannot stay. I think you are the one for me. This is where you ought to be. I just want to satisfy you. Though you're not mine, I can't deny you. Don't you hear me talking, baby? Love me now or I'll go crazy. Whoa, sweet thing. Don't you know you're everything? That's
Come
what you
on.
Call the super soul music. That's right. So let's get it on. I had to get
more.
My courage up to get down like that. You know? So that's what's going on this morning, Saraya. So let me turn it over to you a little bit for all my viewers and the listeners here. And I want you all to call in 773-591-1690. So we want to turn it over to you, and you can tell everybody who is Saraya, where do you come from here in Chicago, and what's going on with you right now.
Well, honestly, I'm I'm a little old country sounding girl from the heart of Chicago. I grew up right here on the north side of Chicago on Cabrini Green, actually.
Wow. Okay.
That's where I started, and I never leave that part out because I think it's important to understand that it's not where you come from, it's where you know you're going. And a lot of where we come from has to do with shaping us for where we're going. And so, I'm from right here in the heart of Chicago, and I've been singing since I can remember, honestly, about 4 or 5 years old. I did my first solo in church at 5. I started in the church just like the greats, like the people I look up to, like Whitney Houston and Aretha Franklin, Chaka Khan. Everybody started in church, and that's where I started. And I'm grateful that I've always known that what I was going to do is sing. I've always, when I was asked what I wanted to be when I grow up, it was always a singer. I want to be a famous singer. Always. And so I've always known.
Right.
So to have a journey where I've been able to do things like go on to NBC's The Voice and actually be mentored by people that I once looked up, or that really right now I even look up to, like Alicia Keys, Miley Cyrus. I was even embraced by Blake Shelton during that time, you know, and I think that everything that I experienced along that journey has been catering to where I am right now today, as I've continued to kind of make it happen the best way that I know how, you know. And it's almost like God will send the things, the tools, the resources, the people necessary to propel you into level next, just at the appointed time.
And so
the thing that where I've been lately, I've dropped an EP under my own company, Ray of Light Entertainment, sponsored by my company. I've actually began a journey, a process for a show that I produce called Vibe for the Tribe Live. You know, where I'll be partnering with a team out in Michigan to actually to actually put it together and possibly pitch it. You know, so I'm very excited about just establishing a platform, not just for myself, but also to highlight other artists that might not have had the opportunities that I've had. So I go from being given an opportunity to shine to establishing a platform that'll allow me to give other people the opportunity to shine as well.
Oh, good, so, good information there. So let me ask you this here then. So now when it comes down to The Voice, you know, a lot of people would do anything to try to, you know, appear on a show like The Voice or either Star, you know, what's Star Search used to be, you know, some years ago. You have a lot of different shows out there with celebrity judges and everything. I noticed when I did a little research on you, you had made a comment on there how you were being cyber-bullied a little bit when you were on The Voice. Could you break that down for my listeners? What does that mean? What happened there?
Well, so basically, you know, I had experienced, because usually when you're on a show like that, you're dealing with, it's no different than high school or, you know, like when you're dealing with a war of popularity type of thing.
Right.
And so I had gone on to the next round. I was up against a good friend of mine in the next round for the knockout round on The Voice. And I won that round, you know, but he had a lot of fans that did not necessarily like that he didn't advance. And I happened to take the heat of the, that moment. And so, of course, I was I'm not the only one that's ever experienced that, you know, where people come on YouTube and they start to, like, you know, kind of, They start to tear you down, you know what I'm saying? They want to tear down your character, tear down your talent, and all of those things. So I experienced that, and my response was to begin a movement called the Love Only Movement. And that movement was just a way of taking a stance on, I don't have to retaliate with hate. I don't have to retaliate at all, honestly. I can continue to do what I do and show love to those who love me and show love to those who hate me. Like, I mean, on the real, like, so it's basically, it was a time where I experienced something like that for the first time. It was challenging for me. So I had to decide in that moment how I was going to respond to that. And so, I mean, we had Love Only t-shirts made and we literally went all out. We went to the schools teaching against cyberbullying, you know what I'm saying?
And just
basically those areas where necessary, the Love Only movement brought that out and allowed me to kind of take, to even take my venture into other places, going to homeless shelters and actually showing love, doing Taco Tuesday and doing, you know what I'm saying? It's just, it's like different things that it brought to the forefront that was necessary.
That's cool.
And yeah.
Well, let me ask you this here then. So, you know, as we keep it going now, you know, I kind of, my early beginnings was in Cabrini Green as well. the row houses over there. My mother used to live over there when I was like a little bitty child, basically. Yeah. Then we moved to the Henry Horner Projects, then to the south side of Chicago. So I've really lived on every side of town in Chicago. I'm one of the big brothers from everywhere, all the projects, you know.
Okay.
And I'm grateful for that because I used to call myself Black Gold when I was growing up as a teenager.
Okay.
That's a name I gave myself. I don't know why I did that, but that's how I saw myself, you know. But the thing about we get down. We come from royalty. That's just the way it goes. So another subject I want to take on before we start taking some callers in is a subject of where is R&B in the year 2020 in the midst of all the rap music? Because, you know, the rap music since the early years, you know, the hip-hop to the gangster rap and to the drill music of nowadays, where is R&B? Because, you know, I really like the singer Anthony Hamilton.
I
like his voice.
I love him.
That brother's cold to me, right?
Yes.
You're cold to me as well. So
thank you.
Where is R&B at in the midst of rap? I mean, what do you see on the horizon? Like, for example, you mentioned Alicia Keys.
Yes.
And I know she got down, and I know a few of her songs as well.
Yeah.
Whitney Houston, we know she was dynamic. Yeah. I put you right there, though, see, with Whitney, Chaka Khan.
I know, you need to beat it.
I told you that when I first taught you.
You absolutely did.
So I haven't heard much from Alicia Keys as of lately. I haven't heard a lot of songs from her as of lately. So
she says she has some music out.
Oh, she does? Okay.
Yes, she does.
All right. So I know the rap music is really, really big now, though. So that's so where is R&B?
To be honest with you, it seems like we've been merging the culture.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Like it's all become one culture.
Yeah.
Whereas you have hip hop artists that are singing in their music.
That's right.
And you have singers that are now taking on rap, like myself. Like I rap and sing.
There's a way in which we are finding a way to merge and
it all be for one culture, which is us, you know?
Okay.
And it actually it branches out and it kind of it just supersedes, you know, like the any type of typical mentality.
Okay.
You know, what we do is unlimited.
There's no wrong
or right way to create. You're a creator in your own right. Mm-hmm. So you create how it feels to you.
Yes.
And right now we happen to be entering into a brand new era where there's no wrong or right way to deliver music. So in this culture, we rapping, we singing, and we merging it. And it's, you know, I mean, whatever you want to call it, we call it trap music. We call it soul trap. and it's all just becoming a thing that it's all about where you are and being vulnerable in that space and being willing to share your art in a way that it can touch people that have experienced what you've experienced.
Right on. You know, because for me, I listen to a lot of the rappers, for example, and we all embrace rap music and all that good stuff. We have to embrace it as part of our culture. But I wish the rappers, the younger brothers, would have a backdoor understanding that they may beef in their rap lyrics and go at one another, but behind the scenes they're drinking champagne and all that stuff.
That's right.
And they're cool. There's no warfare going on.
Right.
But I know a lot of rappers, they want to live what they rap about, so it's hard for them to cross over. But the best thing to do, especially if you're making millions of dollars, you know, you should not put yourself out there. I mean, you can go at each other, just like some, because a lot of people blame rap music for escalating violence. I disagree with that personally, because you had a lot of violent movies back in the day. I mean, you didn't have a lot of violent music back in the day, but you had violent movies.
Yeah.
So did the movies make people go out and shoot somebody? I know there might just be a little bit of small percentage of people that might go and listen to a song and go do something crazy. That happens in life. But I don't want to blame the rapper and the rap industry for all the violence in Chicago, because the truth of the matter, there's been gun violence in Chicago since the 70s, late 70s. It's been high levels of gun violence, okay?
Right. And then it spread out once you think about the fact that all of the project housing areas have been torn down and we've been forced to disperse among the city and live in a society that we were not necessarily used to, because we're in a confined place where everybody is family, everybody home is home.
Exactly.
You on your own turf in your own territory, and then they, you know, it's kind of taken away. So
from
now
you, right.
you're forced to spread out and live in this, in whatever it is that you're forced to go into, and that begins to become something else, and it erupts into a greater level of violence and a greater level of
everything.
You know, just disturbing peace.
Okay.
You know?
We got a couple of calls here. What I'm going to do now, we'll take Dr. Latrice, LaShawn Latrice first, then we'll get to Brother Hall, okay? So, Dr. Latrice, you're on the air with T.O. Miss Ceasefire Hardeman. What you got going on, Dr. Latrice?
Good morning. Oh, nothing. Just up bright and early.
Appreciate you. Appreciate you a lot.
So we got
Bobby. We got the young lady on the show with me today, you know, one of the super soul singers to me, R&B singers, Saraya, a good friend of mine. I'm grateful she got up this early in the morning. So my question to Saraya this morning, because we got more calls coming in too,
How are you?
Yeah, so Dr. Latrice, well, you being a psychologist-minded sister, this is another beautiful sister, take care of business in the world out here. So I was asking Saraya, where is R&B music in the midst of all the rap music out here and how things have changed? I know we can't go back to yesteryear. I understand that because we lived in the year 2020. And then Saraya was telling me, which I did not know, you versatile. You can rap and sing.
Absolutely.
That's important.
You know what I mean?
That's something I can't. I'm not much of a rapper, but I can sing a little bit.
All right.
So you got any commentary for the sister, Dr. Treese, this morning?
I agree with her. I'm glad that she does both. The versatility is necessary. The thing that's missing is substance. And what we've noticed is that the music has somehow transitioned where there's not a lot of expectation for good soulful music, especially in the midst of good rap.
I'm thankful that I've been able to kind of to, you know, like even in my EP that I dropped this year, actually, I had songs like Don't Touch the Fire, where I was able to kind of bring out, just go into a vulnerable space of, you know, like where we go in love. And sometimes we're so busy trying to chase love that we're willing to subject ourselves to unfortunate circumstances and situations because we're ignoring people's truth.
You know what I'm saying?
And now, it's like almost like if you don't want to get burned, don't touch the fire. Don't go into things that you know are going to pull you out of where you're supposed to be and stuff like that. So it's like it's an R&B, it's an R&B EP, R&B, you know, soulful EP, but definitely is. I feel like it's just gonna take for, you know, everybody has a story to tell. Everybody has a different story to tell. And like I said, you have some people that are strictly gonna give you what's everything serves its own purpose.
Yes.
So some music is specifically there to make you feel good. But, and a lot of times in that making you feel good, you may not get a super message out of it, but it makes you feel good for the moment. It's some music for partying.
Yes.
It's some music for that'll take you into sad mode, some music that'll take you into hallelujah mode.
That's
you
right.
know? And so like everything serves its purpose,
indeed.
And I think it's just about placing everything where it belongs, you know?
No, I like what she's saying, Dr. Latrice, because, you know, good soul music, as I think about it, there's music for every mood that you may be in at any given time. So that's what I'm a little concerned about nowadays, because with the rap music, which I'm not knocking rap music, I want to make that clear, but where's the music that can soothe your soul when you're going through some troubled times? You know, you got music like singers like Donny Hathaway from the past and you know, like Peebo Bryson, he was one of my favorite artists.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Osborne, Love Ballad. You know, I love that music, Dr. Latrice, you know me. So these are some of the songs that I grew up on, in other words. So where Glenn Jones, I've been searching, you know.
Yeah.
I've been looking, baby. That's right. Still can't find nobody.
So
Dr. Latrice, what else you got to say to this young sister here that she came on the show this morning from a psychological point of view? Because you said something that stood out in my mind about the music. There's no real substance in the music. So a lot of times you rap about the gold chains, the women, the big bankroll, the cars and stuff. But that runs out after a while.
It does.
What are your thoughts right there, Doctor?
I agree completely with her. I think every song is befitting for a specific time, but I'm glad that people like Saraya, that you do collaborate and do music that means something versus in conjunction with your beautiful voice, in conjunction with the times that we're in, because like Teal said, we don't think about it, but people used to resort to music for all different reasons, and so they get what they need from each song that plays. But when we have to always resort back to our older music in order to feel that again, that shows that there's an absence of it.
Yes.
And so, you know, if the new artists or the newer artists of today would consider that when they make their music, that music can be healing for everything.
If
they just remember that, you don't have to always hear one specific type of music all the time. I love the fact that the versatility is what we really gravitate to.
Yes.
So I agree with you, and I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Yes, absolutely, and thank you.
All right, Dr. Treese, thank you for calling this morning. Appreciate that.
Now, no, Father, you all have a wonderful day.
Yeah. You do the same. Thank you.
Because, you know, as we think about music, even Earth, Wind, and Fire, I'm going back a little bit, but, you know, even coming out like Glenn Jones, you mentioned Glenn Jones, you had some singers out there, you know, Casey and JoJo getting it on, you know, like all those good sons. I was a Teddy Pendergrass man myself.
Okay.
Because, believe it or not, I used to have a full beard, but, you know, I got a little gray hair.
Okay.
So shaved out, and it's all good. So we got another caller on. We're going to take Brother Hall on, then we'll get to some more conversation with you and your career.
Okay.
Well, Brother Hall, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning, Buck Thiel, and good morning to your guests.
Good morning.
Good morning. Listen, first of all, we're very proud of you, sister, and particularly coming out of Cabrini.
Yes.
You're absolutely right. Those places were sanctuaries for our young people.
Yeah.
You can go all the way back to even Curtis May Steele.
Yeah.
I was from Detroit, and that's why I came here, doing a musical piece with the help of Purpose Band, who was the owner of the VON, the station where you're sitting there. If you go back and trace the history of a lot of people who even migrated from the South, many of them, their sanctuaries and where they would go would be what we known as the projects, which is the development. So you're absolutely right. Curtis was so sharp. He didn't just limit his talent to Cabrini Greens, even though he came out with some powerful talent out of Cabrini Greens. Give you an example.
Yeah.
Did you know that Major Lance were out of Cabrini Green? And do we know who Major Lance was? Major Lance, his daughter, is now the mayor of Atlanta.
She's the mayor of Atlanta now. Keisha Lance.
Well, see, that's why we need to know our history. And when we connect the dots, then we connect each other.
For instance,
Curtis Mayfield didn't stop there. He went on the west side and wrote for the brother called Walter Jackson. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Him and Jerry Butler collaborated with one another to write the music. So they were writing for everybody. Matter of fact, he left there and went out to the south side of Harlem High School and also wrote for the young group called the Five Stair Steps.
Yeah.
So this is music history, Brother Hall. Okay.
Yeah, right. Come on now.
Come on with it, Brother Hall. Break it
down.
Sound like Motown. We have to.
Yeah. I was from Detroit. Like I said, came here doing some background singing and was here, been here ever since. So I'm saying I know that history because I traveled in those places.
Okay.
I would tell you that to destroy music by any means, then it was a blow to the black community.
Yeah.
We are doctors in music. And so I urge you, sister, to keep going. Keep doing what you're doing. I had a young brother. He's deceased now. But this young brother could write. He was a rapper. His name was Cabell. And actually, he was out of Abla. And this brother could write that rap. And everything that he would write was on the positive level in trying to bring the community together. So I think that we can do that if we start to collaborate with each other and making sure that we support shows like what T.O. Hardeman have on. See, we can't politic our way out of everything.
Yes.
I think at some point we need to sit down and have that real conversation what you're talking about from the dry bones of where we came from. And thank you so much, sister, for all you do. And if there's any way that we can support, please leave your information because I have some things in the back of my head that I'd like to share with you at a later date.
Okay, thank you so much.
Brother Hall. So now let's talk about this a little bit now because now with the year for COVID-19, in other words, how hard is it for entertainers now to perform other than social media? Because like booking shows, because I know that a lot of entertainers now, you know, because when you go on the road, you know, you have to book the locations, the producers pay for the shows. I had a lot of comical moments when I was in the entertainment business because I had comedians. What would happen is that people would come into my show based on my name, T.O. Hardeman, right? And then the comedians would see the big crowd, and we agree to pay them $300 or $500. They see the big crowd, they give me a half performance because they think they're trying to count my money. From a producer standpoint, it takes a lot. Producers put a lot into promoting the show, organizing everything, setting everything up, and then a comedian or the superstar just walks into the show, right?
Right, absolutely.
So a lot of times people get mad. They used to get mad at me. This one comedian tried to get gangster with me, right? And he was a comedian. He forgot he was a comedian.
Yeah.
You can't get gangster with a grown man. You're a comedian, you know. And I had to
spook
him a little bit. He started telling jokes again after that. Right? So the point I'm making, but how is it about the COVID-19? How good are you doing in the midst of this COVID-19 also?
Okay, well, I mean, honestly, I think that this has forced us into a new normal.
Okay.
I mean, it's forced us to actually utilize our resources. Uh-huh. It's forced us to actually start to, for me personally, it's forced me to educate myself on how I can further advance my own finances.
Yes.
And so, like, lately I've been sharing on my social media how I've been educating myself in the area of learning how to trade in the foreign exchange market.
Oh.
And this is positioning me to continue and to further what it is that I do in my career and also to further myself in life at large. You know, I think that right now, we're in a time where it is necessary for us to reposition ourselves in order to thrive in this new norm.
Yes, indeed.
I think that everybody should know about the things that I'm learning right now.
Okay.
I feel like the difference between people who are making 6 and 7 and 8 plus figures in industries like the market, I think the difference between them and us is that we haven't had access to the information.
Okay.
We haven't had it at our fingertips.
Exactly.
So right now, I've actually been able during this time to tap into that, and I see the value in it, and I see how it is allowing me to push myself into an entirely different level of freedom.
Okay.
And so as an artist, that's important because we have to have a way to secure the bag even though we're in this time of not being able to perform live because we have to stay safe. You do have some people that are pushing it, that are like having stuff, and you're able to come out and perform. But for those of us who are keeping ourselves safe, we have to have a way to still eat.
That's
we have to have a way to still thrive. And
so,
I encourage people. And if there's anybody that's listening right now that wants to know how they can get in on the knowledge and the education and the difference that I've been making in my own situation, I'm willing to share that information.
Cool.
That's what I'm here doing now.
Everything
that I learn and everything that I pick up for myself, I feel like we are only as valuable as we allow ourselves to be to other people.
That's
and
right.
I'm willing to share the knowledge and share the resources, share where I'm being educated, share how it's going down for me so that everybody else, I'd be remiss not to share the plug, put it in my left pocket and tuck it there and go ahead and do what I have to do for me and my family while everybody else is still going through
struggling
this pandemic and struggling.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, it's time out for it. If there's a will, there certainly is a way.
Right
and
on.
If there's a way, we just have to decide what to do with it.
Got it.
That's the bottom line. No. So that's how I've been able to kind of reposition myself and still go toward my goals as an artist and as not just an artist, but an entrepreneur, as a woman in this music business, as a woman in this world of entrepreneurship. It's different.
Yeah, that's important information. Well, thank you for that as well.
Yes.
So right now what we're going to do is take a quick commercial break. Then we'll bring another caller on the line. And when we come back, I also want to talk to you about the business part of the entertainment industry. Because I know, as I listened to Snoop Dogg talk about it a few times, he said when he came about, he wanted everything. He didn't want to just produce the music. I mean, sing.
That's
rap.
Right.
He wanted to know about the business behind the
scenes. That's it. That's
and
me.
And I appreciate
that. That is me.
That's you all the way. Good. And I'm grateful Master P took Snoop Dogg under his wing.
Yes.
Back in the rap history, right?
He did.
And then he let him go on and do his own thing afterwards. That was major. That was
major.
Major. Okay.
Major.
Cool. So we'll take a quick commercial break. And Mama D, we'll get to your call as soon as we come back. Thank you.
Know who you are. Let Bishop Promotions of America promote your clothing line, restaurant, political campaign, website, church, and more. Sound and video recording now available. Whatever your project or product, Bishop can make it hot.
This is Terry Bishop, working with your budget to maximize exposure.
Follow him on all social media platforms at #BishopPromotesYou. Contact Terry Bishop today at BishopPromotesYou.com or call 773-392-9866. That's 773-392-9866. Let Bishop promote you.
Good morning, sis.
All right, we're back on the air now, everybody.
Right,
that was
a
pretty quick commercial break for us this morning. And I want to thank my man, Mellow Mitch. He's the technician here at WVON. We want to thank him. And then my super producer, Brother Terry Bishop. His birthday was actually two or three days ago. So
okay.
Happy birthday to Terry Bishop, all right?
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, all right. So let's bring Mama D on. Let's see what Mama D is talking about. Then we'll just get back into the conversation. Mama D.
Well, hallelujah greetings. It's so soothing to hear our youngsters carrying on the tradition of music that has been our rallying point, especially coming through the enslavement period and in the 60s. We haven't had unifying days to rally us around our cause. Like, you have an annual day for the Irish. They rally around St. Patrick's Day, or veterans rally around their day, or witches and warlocks rally around Halloween. So music was what kept our unity going and rallying around. And I'm so grateful that you are keeping that tradition going. We need more songs about our history to hold us together. And speaking of that, Friday will mark the 155th anniversary of the ratifying of the 13th Amendment that abolished individual ownership of slaves and changed it into institutional ownership of slaves through incarceration. And that recycled slavery has impacted us most as a people. Yeah. So, in conclusion, happy Earth Day birthday.
Okay.
Because your mother gives the birth and you get born.
So, come on now.
That'll work.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
We need to give credit for that 9 months that we were alive before she gave birth on the, and you got born on the earth. So we're getting some songs around that too. So thank you.
Yes, indeed.
And keep the wonderful soul sound going.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you
right
so
on,
much.
Mama D. So, yeah, so, Saraya, so what I want to transition into now is more the business side. Then we'll talk about some of your favorite artists and singers out there, you know. And like I say, I come from the Teddy Pendergrass world. He would get down like, I'm lying here waiting, my dear. You can get what you want anytime you need it, girl.
Yeah.
Just turn off the light. You understand me? And light a candle, you hear me? I want to do something. You know, we're going to leave that where it's at. So we're going to have a little fun this morning. See?
Yeah.
So now, let me say this to you. Now, who are some of your favorite artists? I know you mentioned Mariah Carey. I had an opportunity to meet with Nick Cannon, I think they're still married, if I'm right or wrong. I believe so. They're not? Okay,
no.
I don't know. I didn't keep up with it that far.
No.
And I'm pretty cool with Nick Cannon's father as well.
Okay.
So now Mariah Carey, and she, you know, I was on Howard McGee's show on V103, and we did a battle of the best between Mary J. and Mariah Carey, and I told her Mary J. would win that hands down. There's nowhere in the world you're going to be Mary J., not on a black radio station.
Yeah. Right. Mary J. has her own. She carved out her own lane. And
that's what I'm talking about.
Actually what I value about.
Yes.
I've been compared to Mary J. as well.
Okay.
Mainly, I think, because she's found her niche. She's found a way to be her own person within the entire industry.
Yes.
There's R&B, and then there's Mary J. Blige. And so, seriously, I value because she's like almost a hip-hop R&B type, or hip-hop soul.
Yes.
And she doesn't have to be the greatest singer in the world to make people feel what it is that she does.
Okay.
And so I value that. She's one of my people that I feel like, okay, I love what she's done in her career and the legacy that she's been building.
Right.
I love people like, when you talk about the greats now, Whitney Houston is like right there at the top of the list.
Right.
She's the voice. So I cannot, you know, I'd be remiss not to mention her name. And a lot of the people that I feel like, I have little bits and pieces of by default.
Okay.
You know, they've already gone and passed on, like Aretha Franklin and Whitney Houston herself, and you have people that are still here like Chaka Khan and stuff like that. And then right now in today's industry, and I know this can be very controversial, but Beyonce is somebody that I feel like is making her own mark in this industry for more reasons than one. So I look at her and I see her as a great example for what it is that I'm targeting for myself, because what people may not understand, people who don't necessarily follow Beyonce, having followed her journey, is that she had to go and tread some murky waters just as an entertainer in this industry, and it's a dog eat dog world.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
Yes,
yeah.
And so now she's at a place where she's literally conducting her own vision. She's conducting her own, you know, she is the person in the center of everything that surrounds her. You know what I'm saying? It has to come through her. And at the end of the day, that's what we want as artists. We want to be free to create. Yes. And we want to be free to build the legacy that we want to leave behind. And so you can do that if you're walking the right steps. And she has somehow found a way to find her ground and stand her ground in that area. And she's thriving in that space. And so, yeah, she's definitely one of the modern day artists that I look to.
Well, you know, when you talk about Beyonce, you know, she's a billionaire now. Huh?
She Jay-Z. Is.
So she's definitely a role model on a higher level. And when you talked about it, some of the tough stuff that goes on in the entertainment industry, even in the boxing industry, promoting industry, whatever the case may be. Sometimes entertainers, one thing a lot of people try to criticize James Brown, I'm going to use him for an example. Uh-huh. James, they say he couldn't talk that good, but I understood everything James was saying.
Yeah.
I did, so I'm not tripping. But he owned 90% of his music.
See?
That's what's most important, okay?
Yeah.
He owned two or three radio stations. He took care of the business. So how important is it to take on the business side of entertainment? And I know it's important, don't get me wrong, but a lot of artists are just so thirsty in the beginning just to get a check.
Indeed.
I know some artists like that. I know some artists, I remember, I'm not going to break a person's anonymity, but a friend of mine, he received $10,000 signing bonus for a big hit that he had, but he got the $10,000, but he signed his rights over to one of these big old studios out here, you know, these big producer type people. Then he ended up losing, so he ended up selling his tracks out of his trunk, opposed to being able to get any money from the tracks that were being sold in the stores at the time.
Yeah.
So it happens a lot of times. We got another call in a minute, but I want to, before we get Brother Eric on the line, so how important is it for artists nowadays? And what I see with the young rappers, they're taking control of their destiny.
Yeah.
These young brothers, the Migos, you know, all of them, you know, they're getting it on.
Chance
right?
the Rapper.
Oh, Chance the Rapper. So they're taking full control of their career, in other words.
Yeah.
So why is that so important right now based on your experience?
Well, based on my experience, it's important because of we've entered an era where technology is at an all-time high, and technology is almost alleviating the need for the in-between person, for the go between, the middleman. And I think that for me personally, ownership has definitely become important for me because I realized that you may have certain goals that you want to reach. You may have a certain vision in mind, but you only have a limited amount of control of what direction you take and the vision that you overall have if you are relying solely on a check from somebody else, or solely on what happens, like you just mentioned something that said, you said that some of us are excited, are too eager to get a check.
Yeah,
and then
check,
now
right.
once we signed the check, we never read anything. We never really understood what we were exchanging for the check.
About.
So my thing is, it needs to make sense. I'm not against getting the check.
Okay.
You know, I'm not against getting signed. I'm not against actually being endorsed. I'm not against these things. But I do believe that you have to make educated decisions. And you have to know what it is that you are giving up in order to receive the gift of that check or that endorsement and what have you. And then you have to make that decision according to what best suits you for your goals. And so for me, our ownership is important right now simply because I want to be able to have some leverage and some control of where I want to go and the way that I see it happening. You know, and if you're going to do that, you have to in some way own what you're doing.
And that's very important. Okay, well, let's take Brother Eric. We have a call on. Brother Eric, you're on the air. You have any questions for
Good
Saraya?
Morning, my dear brother. Yes. Good morning, my dear sister,
Good
Saraya.
Good morning.
Saraya, that's right.
Saraya,
This is Eric Russell, the American activist with the Tree of Life Justice League.
Okay.
I want to say you are such an inspiration. I am a very big fan. I almost wasn't a fan because I got upset when Aaron robbed you when you was on the show.
That's right.
but I'm glad our sister reclaimed you.
Yes.
And I was almost done with the show.
Right on.
I said, how they going to play our sister like that? I got upset there for a minute.
Right on.
But listen, I spent 20 years in the financial industry as a mortgage executive and an insurance executive. And one thing that I've always tried to do with insurance, I tried to teach insurance
as an investment vehicle for our people. Mm-hmm. Because nowadays, people are passing the hat and using GoFundMe as insurance. And like you said, that no, everybody wants a check, but you don't want a check where there's chains and servitude attached to it.
That's right.
You know, we looked at Prince when he wrote "Slave" on his face, but many people thought it was a publicity stunt.
It was a message.
You know, we have to marvel at Ray Charles when he owns his right to his recording. So we're just so impressed not only by your voice and your understanding, but please keep teaching the ins and outs of the music industry, because we have so many athletes that once they sign a contract, they want to move to a new house, buy a new Land Rover, but they're leasing. They don't own the property that they're living in.
Hmm.
They don't own the Mr. Ball, the young kid that just got signed, LeVar Ball's son, he signed a $35 million contract. Yeah. But what people don't know is that only $16 million of his four-year contract is actually guaranteed money.
Mm.
And so you have to understand that naturally he went out and spent $400,000 on a new diamond grill for his mouth.
See.
Yeah. That's pretty deep, Brother Eric. That's deep. And I'm kind of grateful that we have this discussion, because a lot of people end up, they could be a one-hit wonder, a sensation in the beginning, and then 10 years from now that you might find them on the street broke trying to beg for money because they didn't take advantage of their newfound, you know, fortune or whatever the case may be. That's why we have to stay humble.
Indeed.
Humility is very important. But I'm grateful to talk about the business aspects, because a lot of people miss business because they want clout and they want fame.
Absolutely.
People want the view, they want the views and all that kind of stuff. Because I heard some young rappers talking about everybody chasing the clout, right? They want the clout. So if I knock you real strong, then you come back at me, it gets a lot of publicity. But at the same time, people end up losing their lives. So that's the only thing I do not like about some of the rap music as we transition into the killing part of it. Because you can be, now I was at a club in Memphis, this might sound comical, but I was at a club in Memphis, family reunion, Brother Ed. So I'm in the club thinking we're going to hear some real smooth music. So I'm dancing to some rap music. I dance just a little bit, not that good. But so we danced at the club. Now they talking about the record started out real cool. Now they talking about killing and stuff in the record. So how can I groove to that, really? How can I groove to somebody talking about killing somebody in the record, right? But that was Memphis. We was at one of the neighborhood clubs. Things happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to see music come back to a degree with a little bit of substance in it. I'm not knocking nobody, just a little substance, you know. So what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, I feel like there is a need, especially in times like these, like never before, there is a need to hear something that is, that's going to have some sort of a message of positivity, message of healing, message of, you know what I'm saying? And it's ways for us to have feel-good music and not have
kill somebody.
I mean, you know, but like I said, it's I think that all of that stuff is placed where it is, and then you do have music out there that is not as known to people because it's not as highlighted in this era. You know what I'm saying? It's not as highlighted, but you have some people that are going hard in the paint when it comes down to delivering good sound music. It's just not put on a pedestal. It's just not awarded rewarded
Absolutely.
With Grammys. Yes. It's just not put, and even when they do get Grammys, it ain't aired on TV. It's like you have so many people, like Layla Hathaway, the value that she brings to the music industry and everything that she's been able to give of herself. And usually when she grabs her Grammys, it's not even televised.
Wow.
And it's certain things that that I feel like it just has to be brought to a new standard by the people who are in charge. And right now, since we're not in a place where we have control of that, that is also the importance of starting to build something that you own, so that you can have a way for it to be highlighted the way it needs to be without being under the strings that are attached.
But that's
to,
important. So yeah,
but
go ahead, Brother Eric.
Our sister touched on something so very important. It is certain things that white people are never going to teach black people. They are not going to highlight, the mass media is not going to highlight black love. They are not going to teach our children how to create generational wealth. They are never going to teach our people how to cooperate in a competitive situation. I give you a perfect example, T.O., and you know this about we had a gang intervention where two gangs were killing each other and at war. We tried to bring a truce to Soraya where we said that we would buy an abandoned building, let them build a studio. We would buy the building, give them the lease, let them build the studio and work it, and both of them, and we brought in a record producer to give the most talented gang members actual contracts. We asked them to put down their guns, build a studio, and, you know, stop the violence. Mm-hmm. But they rejected this offer because they wanted blood. Hmm. And nurturing their career was more important than building a future.
Well, let me say this, Eric. We have to take another quick commercial break, Eric, and I want to thank you for calling in, okay? I appreciate it. We're going to follow up on that.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Gotcha. Okay, quick commercial break. Then we get back to the entertainment aspect. You might want to...
Hi, T.O. Hardiman here, president of Valentine Ruffles Incorporated. You know, there's an old saying that it takes an entire village to raise one child. So let's work together to help end this senseless gun violence here in Chicago, one person at a time. For more information, visit my website at violenceinterrupters.org or call me directly at area code 773-391-9072. 773-391-9072. Together we can win. Peace.
I just said, okay. We're back on the air again. I'm here with Soraya. I want to thank you for being my guest today once again. So we talked about the entertainment industry and what's going on with R&B in the midst of this rap industry also. But before, you know, we got about another 10 minutes, I want to hit on this. A lot of people don't understand the music industry when it comes down to points on your songs or your records, right?
Uh-huh.
It's a point system. So a lot of people, when they sign a contract, they may end up getting, like, let's say, for example, the producer takes over most of the business, in other words. And you might get one or two pennies, like TLC, the struggle they went through. The TLC group, I listened to their story, and I read about them, how they got messed over by Pebbles and all that kind of stuff back in the day. Now, some of the singers I like in today's world, Kim, that's my main man. I love Kim.
Yeah.
Solid soul brother there.
I've met him,
that's
actually.
I believe you have. Yeah, that's a solid brother there. And like I said, Anthony Hamilton, them some of the people I really like in today's world. So when it comes to the points, what's the benefit for artists when it comes to points? I mean, how does that system work out?
Well, the thing is that it's just like anything else. Like when it's a lot of hands in the pot, you don't necessarily like so for me, to give you an example, the last EP that I dropped back in May, I pretty much, for me, it was co-produced by me with T.L. Williams. He's the guy that did the Get More Money Than You song.
I know him.
We collaborated to produce my entire EP. We pretty much split everything, but I was only able to do that. So it was like partial splits, and everything was half and half. The points split half and half.
Right.
I was only able to do that because it was something that I was funding myself. When you go off into something else, like with the major deals and stuff like that, they pretty much determine that stuff. So the producers may get a few points. You may get a few points, and that depends on if you even wrote. Okay. You know, like some people are not writing their music, and when you're not writing the music, you may get points specifically for a performance. You know, on the performance end. You get what I'm saying? So like, it's all of that. The ownership is determined by your part that you played in the producing or writing of the music. So if you're not producing or writing anything, you know, you're down there at the bottom of the totem pole, and that's the bottom line.
Even as the artist. Right. So my thing is, I'm kind of old school in a lot of ways, and I come from a standpoint of being a grown man, right? So my thing is, I'm saying I'm an artist, right? I have an understanding with you, a verbal understanding with you.
Mm-hmm.
You the producer. I tell you what, we're going to go 50-50. I'm bringing the drama. I'm the singer. I'm taking care of the business.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to handle the business end. But by the time we get to some lawyer's office, now you done changed up on me.
Uh-huh.
My thing is, I'm not going to play that. Not me.
Nope.
I'm speaking for me. I watched the movie NWA Ice Cube, how he went and tore the studio up because they played him out of his money.
Yeah. that's the importance of getting it in black and white. You can't listen to this. When it comes down to the music industry, the entertainment industry, there's no verbal agreement. When it comes down to verbal agreements, that's just a playground for a whole lot of chaos.
Yeah.
But I think that it's important to understand when you're dealing with business, allow business to be business and conduct it properly.
Okay.
You know, even if it's a line of emails, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Whatever it is, you need to get it in black and white so that if something should go wrong, if somebody should change their mind about what they agreed to, that you have something to prove that this is the agreement that was set in place. And that's how I handle myself even now today. Like, no, we have to make sure that everything is in writing. We have to make sure that we understand the agreement that we have. And I'm talking about when you're talking about doing business where money is involved and things, because when money gets involved, things become a lot more sticky than before money was involved. You get what I'm saying?
Well, you know, Lil Wayne just sold his masters for $100 million. He's being sued by his former manager now for $20 million.
Wow.
So how important is it for you to own your masters?
Wow.
Because, you know, Michael Jackson, he purchased the Beatles masters and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I know it's important, but as an artist, how important? Because that's your life's work.
Yes, that's what I'm about to say. Okay. It's one thing to have some income. It's another thing to have it residually coming in.
Yes.
And I heard somebody's that always quotes. I forget who had this quote, but if you're not making money while you sleep, you'll work the rest of your life. Okay, and so residual income is what causes you to make money while you sleep. That money that when you own the masters to your music, you're reaping the proceeds, the royalties that come with it. You get what I'm saying? And whoever owns the masters is gonna they're the person that's gonna reap the proceeds of the work that was done.
Okay.
So the importance is the importance in that is if you want to continue to benefit from it, if you want to continue to even leave behind something after you're long and gone and no longer singing and rapping and all that stuff, you have to have owned the masters. You have to have owned what it is that you did.
Yeah, because the staying power for most artists is not the same in a lot of ways. For example, you know, you got the Gladys Knight, she's still around. Patti LaBelle, she's still around.
Yeah,
but
indeed.
You know, there's so many artists that are no longer around, you know.
Yeah.
But if you make one good hit, now, this might even seem, you have some artists that are one-hit wonders, but they still come back and they perform that hit, even if it was 20 years ago.
Yes,
so that's
indeed
a good thing in the music industry, because now I know a lot of artists spend a lot of time on the road, though. That's where they make their money, though, on the road.
Yes,
that's
the heavy. Yeah, that's the heavy part of the money. You talking about? You talking about concerts, shows, endorsements? It's stuff like that brings value to the artist. And of course, with the artist branching out and doing other things, you have cosmetic. You have like Rihanna. Look at Rihanna.
Yeah.
Savage Fenty. From cosmetics to lingerie line.
Everything.
We're going off into different things. Okay. And that's what I'm also preparing to do as well as a part of my career. It's just about creating more value, more wealth for yourself within the opportunity. You can't just be, you know, focused on one particular thing. When it comes down to ownership, you have to own what you can and continue. Yep.
All right. So with that being said, I know we've been doing a lot of talking on the show.
Absolutely.
It's a talk show. That's what it is, you know. So maybe you can bless our audience with a little bit of something, whatever you want
to
do.
The song that just came to mind, since I know you like the R&B soul. The closer I get to you.
Yes, indeed. I love it.
The more you make me see,
that's right,
by giving me all you've got, baby.
I love it.
Your love has captured me. Over and over again, I try to tell myself that we could never be more than friends. But all the while inside, I knew it was real, the way you make me feel.
Wow.
Lord have mercy. That was just something slight. I can't get on here and like burst out into loud singing.
No, that's all we needed. That's all we needed for this morning. That's a wake up call. And that's the reason why I had you to come on this show, because after all the talking we've done, you have super talent, young lady. I'm talking about super talent. 2.0 on a whole other level.
Thank you so much. So we
wanna,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, we want to make sure that you get everywhere, everything you have coming.
Yes.
And I want to see you there shining in all the lights. You know, we've
Absolutely.
Been there on a major stage all across the entire world.
Yes.
I want to see you performing in Ghana. All the way in, a lot of people go to Dubai now, you know?
Yes, I'm preparing for everything.
Yeah.
And I'm trusting that that God is going to allow the process to do what it needs to do so that those things become a reality. I'm definitely excited about
then
it.
Then I'm hoping that you and my man Slick could do a duet.
Oh, we are. We are. That's already underway.
I hope that we can be together soon.
Okay, you talked about that. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, whatever you all do, another record too. Now, I wasn't prepared because I didn't rehearse with you, so I don't go sing unless I rehearse with somebody on a duet. I don't make myself look, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, look crazy. Okay. Well,
that's
I
important.
Want the people to
to
definitely follow my journey on all social media platforms at Saraya Official. That's SARAYAH Official. Saraya Official is on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, everywhere. And also for those people who are looking to learn what I've been learning and tapping into in the financial market, I am here to share and to help you grow in that area as well. Keep it locked for everything that I have coming, from Vibe for the Tribe Live to new music to